Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk with Bava Ram, also known in another day as Brad Willis, a former NBC News war correspondent who reported from the Middle East, Asia, Africa, Latin America, and beyond. He is the recipient of the Alfred I. DuPont Award, considered the broadcasting equivalent of the Pulitzer Prize, for Inside Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation. He has self-healed from a broken back, failed surgery, and cancer. He's a graduate of the Kerala Ayurveda Academy and the American Institute of Vedic Studies. It is a pleasure to welcome Brad Willis, now known as Bava Ram. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Eleanor. It's nice to be with you.
And, you know, your story was so impelling. And I must say, as I looked at the beginning of the book, the very cover, it has you in a what you call the warrior pose. The name of the book that you've recently written is Warrior Pose. And it here shows you in this very exotic yoga pose. And I said to myself, oh, my gosh, how does one ever achieve that? How did you but you didn't come there. The warrior pose didn't come all at once, did it?
No, it took quite a bit of time. You know, it's a bit of a play on words because I was a war correspondent. And then in yoga, which is really a science of inner peace, we have this posture with variations on it called warrior pose. But it's being a warrior for your own truth, your own integrity, and your own authenticity. And that particular pose is challenging, the variation that is on the cover of the book. And for someone who lived for many, many years in a back brace and couldn't sit up to eat a meal, it took some time to get there.
And I think that's a miraculous thing, for living in a back brace and couldn't get up and couldn't walk. Tell us how did that happen? Did that occur as a result of injuries in the war reporting that you were doing, or in another way?
It's really an ironic chain of events. I was in Afghanistan, as you mentioned in your introduction, in 1986 when the Soviets had invaded that country. And for a time, I was up in the mountains with the Mujahideen freedom fighters and in the refugee camps, which was the world's largest refugee crisis at the time. It was a documentary on that that was given the award that you mentioned. I was in the prime of my life back then and in the prime of my career. And I was very, very type A, Eleanor. I worked and worked and worked, and it's all I wanted to do because this job was so rewarding to me and it so defined who I was. Also, a very competitive business. I'm from a very middle-class background. Many people in this business were from better colleges, better backgrounds, and I never had any illusions that I was any smarter or more talented than any of them, but I really felt I can outwork everybody. So, type A person. I took a rare vacation after Afghanistan and went down to the tropics to a little remote island for 7 days. And the last day, a storm came up. So here I am in paradise. A little storm comes up. I think it might turn into a hurricane. It got so big. Battening down storm windows, and the final window was up on a ledge, and the handles broke in my hands, and I fell about 12 feet to the base of my spine, slammed into my lower back, just knocked the tar out of myself. And little did I know it at the time, but I cracked the lowest vertebra in my back. I actually technically had a broken back. And I got up, and I pushed on like a type A person for 7 years. But I held a dark secret the whole time. For that next 7 years, through the Persian Gulf War, through drug wars in South America, and turmoil in Central America and Africa, I was in terrible, excruciating pain. So I started chewing painkillers and muscle relaxers and drinking a little more alcohol every night, thinking tomorrow I'll be better. Think about the war wounded children you have seen and reported on and how their plight is so much worse than yours. Push forward. And I kept going and going. So my career was skyrocketing. My emotional and physical health was plummeting at the same time.
And during this time, did you ever consider, did you ever go for help through medical treatment for your back?
I did, and I was told that I could have a major back surgery. And in looking at it as a former investigative reporter as well, I realized that 50% of them failed. And that scared me to death. And I was not about to stop for the 6 months that might take because I knew I'd lose my career if I did. So for me, that was out of the question. And I took the suggested route. I wore a little hidden back brace, a little cloth back brace with some metal bands that I never let anybody see. And I took the medications that were prescribed to me. I occasionally had some physical therapy and some massage. But the pain just never went away. It chewed at me every single day. And it never got better. It just slowly got worse and worse until the day that that vertebra cracked open a little bit further. 7 years later, when I was in charge of all of Asia for NBC News, I was in Manila, Philippines, covering a story. I leaned over to look at some videotape for the report I was about to put together. And suddenly it opened in my back, and I started screaming, and I hit the floor, and I blacked out, and that really began the end of my career.
And after that, you were forced to seek some medical attention.
I was forced in the hospital for a major back surgery, and the surgery failed. I was placed in a body brace that went from my sternum down to below my hips with a metal band down my left leg and a strap just above my left knee. And I was declared permanently disabled, and that's when I could no longer even sit up to eat a meal or walk without a cane. So I went from this global life in which I felt fully self-realized and fully identified to, in my mind, absolutely no future, to life confined in to the prison of this body brace. And I became incredibly depressed. Heavier medications now, Vicodin and Valium and Prozac and Ritalin and three or four others I can't name. I had buckets of pill jars.
And what were you taking with those pills to help that pain go away?
Drinking alcohol. And here's how delusional you can become. I was drinking wine, and I would drink upwards of a bottle every night. But it was expensive wine, so I thought that was okay.
And so you thought the expensive wine would help heal the pain?
Well, I thought that, you know, if you're drinking expensive wine, then you're not an alcoholic lying down in the gutter somewhere in your life. It's just how delusional we can become when we're emotionally suffering and we're in pain and when we're heavily medicated, because these heavy medications really change your entire mind in a negative way.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is your host, Eleanor Barbro, and I'm talking with our guest this evening, war correspondent's memoir with Bava Ram, who once was known as Brad Willis, and his book is Warrior Pose, a War Correspondent's Memoir, How Yoga Saved My Life. So we were just talking about how the increase of medication and also the increase of alcohol was on your agenda to help with the terrible and excruciating pain that you were feeling.
Yes, for the next 4 years after I lost my career and my identity, as I mentioned, I became more and more heavily pickled on these medications and the alcohol, and I really became a master of self-pity, of depression, of anger and fear, anxiety and desperation.
Can you give us an example of how that worked in your family? Because I believe you were married at that time.
I don't think I was a very easy person to be around. In fact, I know I wasn't. I became more and more difficult. And oftentimes you don't see how difficult you're becoming because pain changes you in so many ways, and so did the medications. So I became darker and darker as the years went by, and felt I really did not have a reason to live. Surprised that my wife at that time stayed with me. I don't know that I would have had the courage and the fortitude to do something like that. But she did, and miraculously, 4 years into my being a permanently disabled person, we had a child. A little boy was born just before the dawning of 1998. And it really changed my life, Eleanor. I thought, well, I do have a reason to live. I do have an identity. I'm going to be a daddy, even if I can't kick a soccer ball or carry him on my shoulders or swing him around in the air. I'm going to be a daddy. And I suddenly had the surge of hope after 4 years of darkness. And 3 years, I mean, 3 months later into that precious little life, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer from exposure to depleted uranium in the Persian Gulf War years earlier. And doctors told me, you won't live for 2 years. You need to put your affairs in order and write your will.
And this, and your son Morgan was already born?
He was 3 months old.
3 months old. And you got this diagnosis of, what was it, throat cancer?
It started in my throat and metastasized throughout my lymphatic system.
Ah. And they gave you 2 years to live. Is that what you're saying?
2 years to live. And I... That made me feel even darker, and this incredible guilt that I had brought this wonderful child into the world, and now I was going to leave his life. And I just couldn't find a way emotionally to deal with that.
So, and you were already very depressed, and you were not behaving very well with your family. You were being very quick to anger. So what we're going to talk about when we move into the second part of the program is how you turned your life around and how you took charge of your life to make things turn out differently. When we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with a most interesting person who has really taken charge of his life and turned it around to become something very, very special, not only in his own life and with his family's life, but has made a contribution and continues to make a contribution to all our lives. His name is Baba Ram. He was known as Brad Willis, and he's written a most intriguing book that you will want to read and you will not be able to put down for a moment. It's called Warrior Pose, A War Correspondent's Memoir, How Yoga Saved My Life. We were just coming to the part where you were in such pain, Baba Ram. You were in such pain and so depressed. And you just had a baby boy born. He was about 3 months old. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what happened at that point? Because I believe your wife took some action. And what was going on?
Well, when he was 3 months old, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and told I wouldn't live, and given even heavier medications. Now I'm on morphine, along with Vicodin, Prozac, Valium, and a host of other pills that I'm taking every day, and still drinking heavily. I was plummeting into an abyss, especially knowing that I'm dying and the guilt that I'm leaving this little boy's life. And this went on for some time. He turned 2 years old. I didn't have much time to live. And he was my only positive relationship. Really, I pushed everyone else pretty much out of my life. And he came to me just before Christmas of the 1999. And finally, in his own little two-year-old way, I could tell he understood something is wrong with my father. He's just not going to live. And he trembled as I was lying on the couch and my body braced, racked in pain. And he looked at me with a little tear in his eye, and he said three words that were the catalyst for changing my life. Get up, Daddy. And it hit me in a place, Eleanor, that I really didn't know that I had. And for the next 3 weeks or so, this mantra looped through my mind. Get up, Daddy. But how? I have a broken back. I have a failed surgery. I have stage 4 cancer. I'm not going to live. How can I meet this little boy's desperate plea, who I love so much and really is my only connection to the world at this point? That's when there was an intervention from my family because of how dark I had become from all the drugs and all the alcohol. And when that happened, the person I had become would have just gone into a rage and thrown everyone out of the house. But get up, Daddy, went through my mind again and again and again. And I thought, I have to go get off of all of these drugs and the alcohol and die with a sense of dignity. And one day someone will tell my little boy, your daddy did what he could do to get up. He went and he got off all of these narcotics and the alcohol that so deranged his mind and contributed to his depression and darkness and his anger. And that's what he did. That's how he got up. And you were his inspiration.
Now, I want to ask you, so what you're saying is that the intervention that your family took, led by, I believe, your wife, to get you off, they thought it was alcohol. That's what they were interested in. But it was your son's plea, get up, Daddy, that really let you hear the words of that intervention and let you go and take part of the intervention. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so where did you go? You went to some place in California, right?
I was born in California.
Right.
And I had been living in Hong Kong when I broke my back and lost my career, and I moved back to Southern California. And I hadn't been there in 17 years living there. And I went to a Scripps hospital, to a detox unit.
A detox.
And detox cold turkey, which I can tell you after 14 years of heavy medications was an amazing experience. I can tell you, as a former journalist, all of the demons in Dante's Inferno are the real deal, because they came into that room and tore at my emotional and physical body for 7, 8, 9 nights. And I went through all the withdrawals and crawled out of there somewhat delusional, in terrible pain because I no longer was on the medications, and really not knowing what to do next. My wife and I were very alienated from one another, and I don't blame her. And she was not wanting me to return home. They had an Alcoholics Anonymous program at the hospital, which wasn't for me because alcohol wasn't my problem. Pain and cancer were. Alcohol was the way that I hid from my problems. And the drugs were a way that I hid from my problems. And just when I was wondering, well, what do I do? I can't go into this residential program because they have you do a number of things that I wasn't even physically capable of doing. I could barely walk.
And I remember there was one point where the head of that program said, you need to come and stand. And you couldn't stand. You had to lie down. And she said you had to obey all the rules if you were going to succeed in this program. And one of them was standing up, and you made this momentous effort to stand up. But I want to come to something very special. How did you come to the pain management part of the program?
Well, just as we were struggling with what am I going to do, they came to me and at the hospital, and they had started a new experimental pain management program. They said, we can't help you with your cancer, but we think we can help you manage the pain through these ancient Eastern healing modalities blended with modern Western holistic techniques. Eleanor, I don't even think I understood what they were saying, and I just grabbed onto it like a lifeline and just said, yes. My family wasn't even interested in me doing that. I just knew. I had some deep inner knowing that this is what I needed to do. I enrolled immediately, and I started in that program the very next day. I took a hotel near the hospital where the program was home-based, and I started attending this program.
And how did that, but there was something that you came upon that was really helping you in that program, the pain management that was really the catalyst for the change that you would become. And what was that catalyst?
Well, the very first thing was they took me to a session of what's called biofeedback, which many of your listeners may be familiar with, where they hook you up to electrodes to take your skin temperature and your brain wave and your heart rate, and they lay you in a reclining chair, which I was very good at doing, and play you a guided visualization on headphones that takes you into soothing, healing imagery. And at the end of 20 minutes of this guided visualization, I think I relaxed for the very first time in my adult life. And I could feel a different inner chemistry inside of me. And I had a knowing that I had been letting life happen to me, and letting medicine happen to me that wasn't working for me, and that I had a role to play in whatever healing capacity that I might have. That was my real first epiphany and awakening
to mind-body medicine. That epiphany was that you had a role in taking charge of your own health and that you were able to do it. Is that accurate?
That's correct. And I went and had the hotel FedEx the book overnight that had been written by the person who did that audio tape, Dr. Emmett Miller, who actually wrote the foreword to my memoir, Warrior Pose, and is a very good friend and colleague of mine now. And chapter 3 or 4 of the book said, it's time for you to step up and get over your self-pity and take charge of your life. And I felt like, oh my goodness, he wrote this for me, and he didn't even know I was alive. And I started stepping up. And in that process, within a few weeks, they introduced me to therapeutic yoga at the pain center. And I knew in the moment I walked into that yoga room that this was my path. And now you're hearing this from a former jaded, cynical journalist who never tried yoga, never would have believed, would have thought, oh, that's just nonsense. I somehow had this knowing. I was hearing this deeper voice inside of me that started ever since Get Up Daddy, that unlocked someplace in my heart that had been slammed shut years before as a result of all of the pain that I had gone through and the loss that I had gone through. And somehow I knew this was my path. I ordered ancient texts on yoga, and I discovered this is so much more than the yoga poses done at studios that most of us think of as yoga, that it's a complete, sophisticated, elaborate science of mind, body, and spirit medicine. And I started studying and applying this ancient science to my life as thoroughly as I possibly could.
And how did it change your life? This is very important for our audience to know. How did it change your life?
Briefly, about 3 weeks into this journey, the pain center closed because the insurance companies wouldn't reimburse them for this alternative care, they called it. I knew 3 people in the program. 2 of them went back to drugs and alcohol. The 3rd one, my best friend in the program, committed suicide. I went home and I built a yoga room in my house. And it changed my life in every single way. I started owning who I had become before in my darkest days. I started changing self-pity, anger, fear, and depression into compassion, forgiveness, gratitude, and acceptance, and inner peace. Lengthy meditations, visualizations, I became a complete vegetarian. I called it my organic chemotherapy. I had gained some 80 pounds since I broke my back because I continued to eat a Western diet like a war correspondent, but I was lying around on the couch all day.
And how did this change your physical being? This is what everybody wants to know.
Well, I took 80 to 100 pounds off my body in the beginning, and that really was part of eliminating the cancer in my body. And I only put in pure organic vegetarian food. Tremendous scientific evidence that the protein in vegetables shrinks cancer tumors and the protein in meat and dairy products grows them. So that was an integral part of my healing journey. Plus deep breathing, calm, deep relaxation, changing the inner chemistry in my body from the fight or flight response of stress that most of us are in all the time to a state of rest and restore, relax, and heal.
I want to thank you so much, Baba Ram, also known as Brad Willis at one point, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that the greatest challenges and obstacles in our lives are ultimately a challenge to take charge of our lives by rising up and overcoming great obstacles. It is our birthright as members of mankind. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.